Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, your favorite show each week. No doubt. Today's title, Ancient Medicine and Mastery of the Hormonal System. I want to talk about hormonal balance, hormones, everything you needed to know about hormones in one show. Yes, everything relevant that you need to know about hormones in one show. We can do that. The extraneous, non sequitur, barely applicable jargon on the tip of everybody's tongue about their hormones, that you can flush away. And this is the point of the show today. John Q. Public has terrible misconceptions about the hormonal system. And yes, we're all interested in our health, and somewhere along the line, we learn to attach special significance to the word hormone. Ladies with hot flashes. Men, when your testosterone dips, when the muscles aren't as firm as they used to be, as people hit middle age, we all have a basic connection to the fact that the hormones are changing. Okay, good. Now that's where it should stop, and what I'm going to say in the next 60 minutes should begin. Because we have a version of what to do when that midlife crisis begins to befall us, and that version is largely myopic. The ancients had a much, much, much better idea of what to do about hormones. In fact, and here's the mind blower, and this is where the show really begins, the ancients centered their entire society around the preservation, sustenance, and blossoming into late age of the hormonal system. Ancient medicine taught people from birth how to mature into a more powerful use of the hormonal system. Big statement. Well, if you can get to the website today, straighttalk.cc, if you're driving, if this is the first time you've heard the show, welcome. Again, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, here to give you the inside track on health. Years as a chiropractor, lots of experience in Chinese medicine, more experience in the realm of hands-on manipulation, physical therapy, than just about anybody I know. I have been in the trenches with the sick, the healthy, the dying, the young. I think I've run the gamut over 25 years. And I want to give you the inside track. You need the inside track. We're listening today to too much Park Avenue issue about our health that always comes down to nutritional supplement sales. And it's not that herbs are a bad thing. It's that if you don't get the foundations, you're never going to really appreciate the herbs. That's the theme of the show. So get to the website if you can, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Why? Because I put on the show a YouTube clip. You watch it on your own. That's produced, directed, and just the creation of an incredibly sophisticated archaeologist by the name of Carmen Boulter, B-O-U-L-T-E-R. And she produced a 5-part series called The Pyramid Code. The Pyramid Code. It's got a ton of incredible stuff that goes back into the society of pre-dynastic Egypt. That's Egypt before the pharaohs. That's Egypt that goes back older than some people think the earth actually is. But off carbon dating and other forms of technologies, from Göbekli Tepe to all sorts of geological inferences, we're now starting to understand that, yes, it's true. I don't know if it's in dispute anymore, actually. That a lot of these megaliths that went up are much older than we thought. The Sphinx potentially going back to 10,500 BC. There were people there then. We know that. Homo sapien goes back many, many thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Off the fossils, it's very difficult to argue that. Not my point. The point is, Bolter is saying that pre-dynastic Egypt goes at least back to 10, 11,000 years BC. And before the pharaohs, there was a society, a highly sophisticated, a highly advanced scientific community, alchemical community, that had much to do with putting up the Sphinx, much to do with putting up the pyramids. Yes, it is speculated the pyramids are also much older. And in any event, in episode 4 called The Empowered Human. So get on my website or just go to YouTube. The Pyramid Code, episode 4, The Empowered Human. Bolter is basically saying, along with a gentleman named Hakim. Hakim, an old man with a very young soul, is interviewed during this series. And he was a keeper of the ancient tradition of the Sphinx. He grew up around the Sphinx. So born in whenever, 1910, 1915, 1920. And as a little boy, came from a custodial tradition of as a keeper of the ancient secrets of the Sphinx. Can you imagine that, growing up down the street from the Sphinx? And this is literally the way it used to be. And we all know these megaliths, pyramids, Sphinx, they're a few miles from traffic. So people at one time grew up actually that close. And Hakim, who's interviewed in this documentary, The Pyramid Code, is featured heavily in this episode for The Empowered Human. And what Bolter and Hakim are talking about continually is that pre-dynastic Egypt organized its entire culture around the glandular system. And believe me, their version of how do I balance my hormones was a very different entity than yours. They didn't walk into the local doctor and say, you know, I'm having hot flashes. Could we pipe up my estrogen a little bit? They weren't running around saying, my adrenals are fatigued. They weren't coming in going, my doctor tested my blood, set the thyroids low. So should I do the levothyronine, the Synthroid, or should I try the armor? And if not, some kelp. They weren't thinking this way. Holistic or allopathic, I don't want you to think this way anymore. I want you to think the way you're thinking at the end of the bus. After you've digested everything else and applied and done everything else about your hormonal or what you think your hormonal concern is, then you can think the way you're thinking. So first and foremost, understand that the ancients organized their entire life around balancing and cultivating their hormonal strength. So that's precept one. If you're into holistic medicine, you need to understand holistic medicine is not going to Whole Foods and asking your vitamin therapist what herb's good for your adrenals. It's not walking to your local naturopath and getting some advice on how you should manage your thyroid. Or going to your holistic medical doctor that's an OBG that has a sideline of balancing your female hormones so you stay younger longer. That's not it. It is a lot more akin to what I'm trying to say. Ancient culture understood that you must have connection with the earth to even begin to think about hormonal integrity. Connection with the earth. Now that leaves us in modern day society in a pretty bad place. And the reason is you're supposed to take those 2 feet of yours and stick them into fertile soil, preferably all day long, so that you can receive the earth's energy. And I'm going to get a lot more specific after this. Now that's not what we do. We live in electromagnetic Faraday cages, boxes that block the earth's rays, the telluric currents, the Schumann waves. The earth's inherent electromagnetic grid, rays of energy from above and down to down and up. We live in containers of steel and concrete that block our connection with this. So we violate law number one of what it takes to sustain, to balance, and to preserve our hormonal strength. Law number one is don't live and encase yourself, whether it's your car or your office or your home, all day long in a cage, a metal cage. Because your adrenals, your thyroid, your testes, your ovaries, your pancreas, your liver, your thyroid, your hypothalamus, your pituitary, your pineal, those glands only talk electromagnetically. Fundamentally, they communicate through the electromagnetic grid of the earth. The relationship between chakras and glands is a more esoteric way. It's a more Eastern way of talking about the relationship between the electrical field of the body and the glandular system. In Western medicine, we talk about feedback loops. We say if your thyroid's low, the hypothalamus gland up in your skull senses chemically and electrically that the thyroid's low, and then spits out electrical signals, not just chemical ones, electrical ones, through the autonomic nerves. The autonomic nerves, if you're new to the show, is a grid. It's a spider web. It's a fiber optic network, like a spider web, of electrical magnetic information that goes along these stringy little things we call nerves. And the division of the nervous system that we're talking about are the autonomic nerves, subdivided into the ones that speed us up, the sympathetic, and the ones that slow us down, the parasympathetic. And those of you who've listened to my show have a sense of this. I wouldn't say you understand it. I would say you have a sense of it. I repeat myself because I want you to get into this more deeply. Because we're going to talk about autonomic shifts. In ancient times, the exercises they did, they didn't do what we do today at Equinox and LA Fitness. They didn't do the Jack LaLanne circuit. They weren't powerlifting. They were dancing. They were singing. They were holding poses. They were gymnastic. Movement was about communion with God. Movement was about training the body to absorb the electromagnetic fields of the earth and the sky. And if you could perfect those motions, Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, ancient dance, you name it, every culture had it and was doing it. And you were trained by a priest. You were trained by someone, priest and doctor, were the same thing back then. Men and women of knowledge took you, if you were competent and enough and spiritually developed, if your light shined more brightly than most, you would be invited or initiated into a school, and every culture had schools. All the cultures in ancient medicine that taught you to live your life a certain way with great respect to the glandular system. But they didn't call it the glandular system. But if we had schools then, gurukul schools, we called them gurukul schools. It's kind of like private school today. You send your kid to a private Catholic school, an Orthodox Jewish school. The schools that are private, that are part of religious institutions, are in a sense gurukul schools. I would tell you that they're weak gurukul schools, weak. How strong can a gurukul school be if it doesn't teach you to work the internals of your electromagnetic system? But back then, the gurukul schools trained you through motion, movement, to build connection with the Earth's electromagnetic grids. Yes, this was ancient dance and all the tools I've just suggested. And the point was is that if you did that, you could start to streamline your nervous system, your autonomic nervous system, so that you could start to direct its intelligence to balance the hormones, to build the power of each gland. This is what yoga does today. Not the yoga you know, not the yoga down the street at Yoga Works. But that's why I do this show. Look, this is 25 years to me. I'm a lifer, you know. When I was in my late 20s and got into all this holistic medicine, this very exciting field, soon to be, I was a lifer. That means you give up certain things and you do other things because it's your calling. As a lifer, as somebody that's not going to be taking up a second career in another field, as a lifer, I came to the conclusion a long time ago that there are multiple tracks of understanding as it relates to holistic health. I'm not talking about MD hospital medicine. I'm talking about within the gamut of holistic health, there are multiple tracks of understanding. This show asks you to get the real true inside track. And I'll tell you right now, there's very little I haven't done at this point. One of the perks of doing everything is that if you're clear-headed, you start to see what works. And as it relates to hormones, if you're putting on creams and using herbs to try to fix your hormonal issue, well, you can't do that and overlook everything I'm saying today. You can't do that. You're going to be very poorly satisfied. So cultures that put up the pyramid at Giza, and all the pyramids throughout the world, whoever, whatever put up the Sphinx, if you watch the shows on TV, on YouTube, if you read the books, today's most modern architects, most current machinists marvel at how these people put these megaliths up thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, Bolter's work, Carmen Bolter, The Pyramid Code, Episode 4, watch it, The Empowered Human. Because they understood the first law of the hormonal system, which is you're not going to have one that works unless you move your body in pure, unadulterated nature, and then train it to receive more and more of the Earth's energies. Because the Earth, and hopefully you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're just driving, listen up. Pay attention to the road, but listen. Picture 25, if you can, the telluric ground currents. The telluric ground currents. The core of the Earth spins. And the spinning of the core produces a magnetic field. One form of magnetic field. The telluric ground currents are another form of magnetic energy. The Schumann waves, and if you take a look at picture 36, picture 38, the Schumann waves, which emanate out of the ionosphere off discharge from lightning, along with the telluric currents, along with a bunch of others, are this mix of magnetic field that surrounds the Earth. And those rays are available to you at various times of day, more than less. And if you're capable of receiving them because of the environment that you're in, which can't be your car or your house or your office, unless you've been wise enough to make it of wood or stone. But really, if you want to talk about the extreme of it, put your feet in the sand at the ocean between 3 and 6 a.m. That's when the telluric currents are the strongest. Yes, yes, I know that's not feasible. That's generally what we all end up in concluding here in the United States today, or at least in Los Angeles today, or Southern California today. You know, if you really want to talk about health, the sad part of it is that in the end, many people are just going to listen to what you really need to do about health and come to a rapid conclusion that most of it's impossible, so give me the herbal supplement. And that really is generally all you hear about, people talking about herbal supplements and how that's going to change your life. And then you radio hop. And the fundamentals are there for you if you just get creative. So telluric currents, Schumann waves, Hartmann waves, emanating out of the Earth and having discourse with them. I tell people who travel for a living, who are always in jets, a jet is a microwave oven that fries your life. You're on a jet every 2 weeks, a jet once a month. I don't care if it's from LA to Vegas or from Vegas to Phoenix. Or LA to San Francisco, just a half an hour, 40 minutes at the airport, and a half an hour, 40 minutes on a jet, and 15 or 20 minutes to get out of the airport that you land on, and then the return trip, you're going to fry. Those magnetic fields are sending impulses into your glandular systems that are screwing their intelligence up completely. And then you're wandering off into health food stores or doctor's offices talking about your hot flashes and how your sexual function isn't what you want it to be, and how somebody told you your adrenals are exhausted and you're getting sucked dry once or twice a month on a jet. Take your body 3 or 4 times a month. Take the healing clays. Go to the ocean. Go to the ocean at sunrise and put your feet in the water. Go to the deciduous forests. Once a month, get in your car and spend 3 days out in the desert. Go to the sulfur springs. And everyone can do that. And this is more along the lines of what we're going to need. As the 21st century progresses, as the ecosystems disappear, we're going to need to be more and more aware, more and more respectful of how we have to commit to counter what's going on. And what's going on is that we are and have successfully encased ourselves in radiation to the point where our glandular systems don't function. And not too long ago, 8,000-10,000 years ago, entire cultures devoted their entire existence to building up what we've probably devoted our entire existence now to breaking down. And so the pendulum has swung. We live in interesting times, don't we? I know I, at my age, have never lived in a decade like I'm living now. I don't remember this as a little boy. I don't remember this as a teenager, my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. Into my 50s now, I say I have never lived in a decade like this. Uncertainty? Not in my lifetime. And within and around all that uncertainty is a health system that is in peril. And yet we had cultures that created their entire existence around what your concern is, your glandular system. Number two, when you have a concern about a single gland, when you're concerned about your thyroid, your testes, your adrenals, your ovaries, there's no such thing about, I went to the doctor tested my thyroid's low, my thyroid's high, my estrogen's low, my testosterone is low, my progesterone is low, we need to beef it up, or it's too high, we need to bring it lower. There's no such thing as one gland. Glands do not exist as separate individual entities. All the glands are like musicians in an orchestra. And they're all talking to each other. They all want to know what the other one is doing, because they're all reacting in response to the other one. Believe me, we'll discuss it in a second. If your stress levels are high and your cortisol is high, that's the end of your hormonal system. Once cortisol is high, kiss balancing your hormonal system goodbye. It doesn't really work that way. And we'll get into that in a moment. But law number two, no hormone works independently of the rest of the hormonal system. And no hormone works independently of the master glands up high. The hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal gland are telling the rest of the hormonal system what to do. The adrenals, the thyroid, the testes, the ovaries, the pancreas, they're all being told what to do by the master switches up between your ears. This is why people who clench are in trouble. This is why people who have had head trauma are in trouble. This is why people who lose too many teeth are in trouble. Once the cranial rhythms go, once you lose cranial flow, your hypothalamus doesn't know who it is anymore. And once that happens, the autonomic nervous system goes, and the central junction box that controls all the hormonal strength, meaning the numbers, and balance, meaning the ratios of what's produced, all the central intelligences controlling that go out the window of head trauma, of losing too many teeth, of clenching, of malformation of the palate from birth. That's a big deal. It's exciting to me that you might listen to this show and actually be elevated out of what herb should I take for my adrenals, or should I do progesterone or biocompatible estrogen to stop my hot flashes or to make my sex life a little better. It's exciting to me to think that you can listen to this show today and you just might elevate yourself out of that myopia. Believe me, if it worked and satisfied me, I wouldn't do a show like this. I'd just dispense nutritional supplements, and that's all I do. I just want to see things work. I never saw things work. I saw things help a little. They help a little. Your progesterone cream helps a little. Your supplement for the adrenal glands helps a little. But it gets you to first base. That's not what you want. That's not what you want after 50. We've got this interesting paradox in society today where everybody at 50, 60, 70, we all want that second life. We have a mentality today that says 70 years old isn't that old. 60's not old. We deserve that mentality. Now, to fulfill it, it's a different story. You're not going to fulfill it online at Kaiser Permanente. I assure you, you're not going to fill it. We all agree Pharmaco wants us on 10 meds. That's the new norm, right? You're 60, you're on 5 meds, you're 70, you're on 10 meds. And then the healthcare system just bumps you out of existence because you're not cost effective anymore. Look, I sit across this desk all week long and I see your fears and your concerns, and they're well justified. At 70 years old, you don't want, especially if you've lost enough loved ones, you don't want to end up beholden to a healthcare system that is basically going to say, look, you're 80, it's your time to die. I'm sorry, we can't help you. When what they're really saying is, I'm sorry, you're not cost effective. And believe me, if you think socialized medicine is going to make it better, please wake up. Please. Yeah, if you're living in the street, you'll get healthcare. Good. But you're going to get checked out as a matter of governmental standards. Yeah, it's appropriate to get into this a little bit. So that's your concern. Your concern is to make sure that you get the inside track. That in your 50s, when you start to respect your health because you're losing a little bit of it, that you don't get tripped up in myopia and herbs and creams to fix your hormonal problems lead to nowhere in the end. So, rule number two then. Number one, stay connected to the earth. Listen to my shows on what all of that's about. Rule number two, understand that your glands work in sync with all the other glands, and they have to work their way up to communication with the hypothalamus. So integrity structurally from the head to the glands, which clenching, losing teeth, and head traumas destroy. Losing connectivity, structural connectivity from the head to the glands is critical. This is why the essences of yoga, of Tai Chi, of Qigong, of Kung Fu, of ancient dance, do you know all ancient dance compelled practitioners to isolate the head from the neck? Today, that's been relegated to Indian Hindu dancers or belly dancers from the Middle East. Belly dancing of the Middle Eastern tradition and the Hindu tradition where you see the Indian women move their head from side to side. And of course, dancers in America, the ones that really get into dance, learn what these isolations are about. And bravo to you if you're in America and you understand what I'm talking about. But the point is, these isolations were to preserve that integrity between the head and the rest of the body. Lest you lose connection. When was the last time you went to a doctor's office about your thyroid or about your adrenals or about your ovaries or about your testes and had the medical doctor tell you your hypothalamus is off? When was the last time that happened to you? It did not happen to you. And this is why I'm yelling right now. How many people suffer multiglandular disorders and are off doing their little creams and their herbs and the problems up in the head? And that's in the science. Do you really think I'm on air right now for K-Bright spewing anecdotal, non-scientifically backed issues? The hard science will tell you it's all run by the hypothalamus. And hundreds of people in medicine will get behind the fact that once the autonomics through the hypothalamus in the brain are off, your glands don't work. So I invite you to get on the website and learn. Any of the shows I've done on head trauma. I've done 10 shows out of 316 that all tie into these subjects. You can't do it in 1 hour. But the ancients did. The purpose of the Sphinx, the purpose of Giza, the purpose of the pyramids, one of the purposes was to create an electromagnetic grid. It was to intensify what came out of the earth so that you could train your body, your organism. You could do these things, these internal gymnastics at those sites so that you could begin to create an ever more powerful connection between your head and your glands. That's one of the things so central to society that they used these megaliths for. That's fascinating. Tomorrow, your child's going to get up and go to school. And in that school, your 7-year-old that's so bored, if he's in the LA public school system, he's bored if he's got brains. That's why we have homeschooling. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as homeschooling. Are you kidding? Italian Catholic growing up in New York City, and you're going to tell my mother to hang out with me another 7 or 8 hours a day? Where has society gone? A woman's got 5 kids, and she's going to homeschool them. Yeah, you can pull that off with one, which is all the sperm counts today can accommodate, maybe one. Where has society gone? Today, your child should go to a school built on a sacred site. You know, many of our churches, traditionally, our churches were built on sacred sites. If you get to the website, you're going to look at something called ley lines. Picture 26 is a mapping of the ley lines, L-E-Y. This is where these strong magnetic fields crisscross. So we built Stonehenge on a ley line. So we built the pyramid or the Sphinx and the Sphinx on a ley line. The South American megaliths, temples are often built on ley lines. The pagans, if you study the archaeology, were the first ones in the anthropology. If you study the evolution of the Catholic Church going back into the Middle Ages, earlier than the Middle Ages, would build its churches on pagan worship sites. And the pagans were picking these sites because they could feel something, because they were connected to their root energy. Believe me, if a Viking told you that there was a part of the territory that had a different, more powerful energy, I'd bet on the Viking, not the computer technician. And where the so-called pagans, from the Celts to the Saxons to the Vikings, built their sites of worship, lots of Catholics built their churches and Christians. And everybody else. Can you imagine if your child was going to get up tomorrow morning with ADD coming down the pipe because he's shrouded in a Faraday cage? He's on a computer all day? He doesn't run every afternoon for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Kids today don't play with gangs of kids. They make play dates. That's a mother meets a mother and The two mothers think their children might be well matched, and so they make a play date. A play date? You all remember when you walked out the door of your home 40 or 50 years ago, and there were 50 to 60 to 100 children within a very short square. There was no such thing as a play date. Life, from morning till night, was interaction with dozens of children. And that continued off the school system. We had it a little closer then. We need to create another model here. Your child's testes and ovaries and their fertility in their teenage years and in their 20s when they're married and they want to procreate, you want to cultivate that now? Listen to what I'm saying to you then. And understand that your child shrouded in a computer in some sort of a office building that we call a school that's more like a prison or built more like that. And then back home, inside a home once again, lest we go out into that dangerous world we've created, is destroying their very young hormonal systems. Gurukul schools, which what the ancients created, Gurukul schools, if you were schooled, those schools were built at sacred sites. Those schools trained a child in conjunction with nature to build relationship between the head and the rest of the body. They were trained electrically. There was an electromagnetic version of existence. So that all your testosterone and all your estrogen and all your hormonal strength, the sweet bird of youth, was transformed elegantly into what we call an autonomic shift. In other words, Gurukul schools trained you to get in to the parasympathetic side of your autonomic nervous system. This is why, my listeners, I mention the autonomic nervous system so often. The parasympathetic nerves up in the hypothalamus control your glands. Picture 31. That's a wonderful little map that talks about the autonomic investiture into the hypothalamus gland. And into that hypothalamus go these impulses through the autonomic parasympathetic nerves, and then the parasympathetic nerves tell the glands what to do, which includes shut off. That's right, shut off. To train an individual in the midst of the trials and tribulations of life, of survival, of pestilence, of plague, of political upheaval, of all the things we're all accustomed to suffering through each and every day of our life, came the Gurukul schools devoted to making sure that you experienced an autonomic shift, meaning that you could connect to that piece of yourself that knew how to take it away. People today call that connection with God. When you do Bible study, in essence, that is what you're trying to do. You're attempting to put your body in a state of complete grace, where you receive the love and, may I say, vibration of the Father, of the Heavenly Father. Now, physiologically, neuroanatomically, it simply means that you get into a deeply enough relaxed state to have the parasympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system receive the grace. And that's what you call priming the hypothalamus. In that state, the hypothalamus will send information through the fiber optic system, through the nervous system, to the glands to tell them what to do. Speed up, slow down, shut off, take a vacation, regenerate, degenerate, throw off their toxins, whatever it is. You just leave it to your nervous system. But you have to put yourself in that state of grace. Really, that's what we call prayer. Who's to say prayer is not emotion? Who's to say prayer is not emotion? This is what we call sacred dance. I think remaining within the vestiges of the Catholic and Christian tradition, people sing. They may sing in Latin. That song is movement. Movement of the diaphragm is an exercise. It's an internal exercise. Song and prayer, at its most basic tradition, is to galvanize the autonomic nervous system to create that shift. Wouldn't it be wondrous if each and every day your children were going to a school with that autonomic shift in mind? Not that it doesn't apply to you if you're middle age. If you're middle age and you don't like your testosterone levels and your insulin's too high and your estrogen's too low and your thyroid is too high or too low, or sometimes too high and sometimes too low, whatever your hormonal quip may be, whatever you think you're going to resolve with a cream or an herb, please think again. So facet number three, law number three, you have to understand and go after, which is a maturation. It's a period of maturity in your life where you receive an autonomic shift. I work with lots of professionals who are too busy to do anything. They work lots of very long hours, and they fly all over the country to do lots of very important things. And I tell them, if you really want to do something for yourself, once a month you're going to take 3 days. You're going to take a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday, and you're going to disappear into the woods. And you're going to let your body drink the power of the deciduous forest. The deciduous forest. The forests that perhaps aren't fully mapped out yet. The Pacific Northwest, the Ozarks, the Appalachians. You can go up to Carmel, to the spas they have there. You can go to Ojai. You don't even have to get that extreme, but you have to have a complete experience to see if you can start to connect to what I'm talking about. We're not doing this anymore. And those 60-minute massages we do once a week down at the corner will not cut it. We have to start thinking more creatively. Many of you can do that. I have families in retirement, and I'm telling them, you've got some property, you've got a backyard, create your own little sacred site. You move from the garden to the banya sauna to the cold pool to the yoga room. You're on enough property to do that. Yes, you are. That extra $10,000, $15,000, it's there. It's there. You're going to spend it anyway on stuff you're not going to get a return on, I promise you. I promise you you're going to spend it on a 2-week vacation to Europe. I promise you you're going to give it to somebody that doesn't really need it. But if you're 60 years old, if you're thinking about retirement, you ought to think about turning a piece of that property into something you can really utilize. Because you want to cultivate your glandular integrity. Because it's everything. It's about human empowerment. The glandular system is the medium through which we were designed to make things happen. Everything you didn't have time to do that you may have time to do, if you can stay vibrant till 80 or 85 or 90, demands cultivation of that glandular system. Those of you who get these blood tests and you come in and you say, the norm is from 4 to 11 and I'm in the 4 to 11 range, so I'm okay. Just want to give you a little side note here. Norms, your numbers off your blood work don't mean a thing. They're largely irrelevant. When the doctor tells you, I looked at your TSH and I looked at your free T3, your free T4, I looked at your cortisol, I looked at your estrogen, your estradiol, your estrone, your testosterone, your DHA, your pregnenolone, and everything's in the normal range, it doesn't mean anything. Norms have to be relative to your norm. And you don't know your norm unless you've taken your blood work over a 5-year period. And you got to factor that in. The first hint to you is if you're low normal or if you're high normal. Anything you measure, especially in the glandular department, if you're low normal or high normal, understand you may be in trouble. And that always escapes detection. Yes, the naturopaths catch that occasionally, but by and large, this escapes detection. Really, what you want to do is save your blood work and look at what your norm is over the years. And when you start to see your norm go in the wrong direction, that's a flag. Now, cortisol, big concept, cortisol. Balancing hormone without the autonomic shift. Trying to balance hormone is a function of two things. One, the integrity of the liver. I'm going to leave that alone. I've done so many shows on what to do about your liver, I'm not even going to mention it. You have to work with that liver. And yes, that does mean 12 to 15 to 20 to 24 master flushes. That's the olive oil stuff. Read about it. Not just my site. That's everywhere. People do one or two. You're 60, you do one or two, you're done. No, you're not. You just started. If you've given your liver 4 or 5 decades to fall apart, give it a year or two to regenerate it. That's just common sense. If the bile ducts don't flow, the liver cannot regenerate itself. The liver is begging you to let it regenerate itself. Liver cells love to regrow themselves. You can cut off the liver. You can cut it in half and throw out the bad half, and in a year it grows the other half. You can cut out 75% of your liver. It'll regrow itself in a couple of years. The liver is an incredibly pliable, adaptable organ. We wish we could do that with the brain. We'd love to cut out half our brain and just let it regrow over the year. Doesn't work. Doesn't work with the kidney. Doesn't work with the thyroid. Yeah, take your testicles and throw them away and they'll regrow in a year or two. We don't do this. Only the liver does this. The liver, the cervix, the skin, the bones, the cortical bone, the inside of the intestinal tract, certain parts of the body are designed. One big, fat, heavy, vital organ, the liver, it regrows itself. Just flush the liver, make the bile flow, do the 24 flushes. I'm going to talk to you about something more important and more complicated, stress. Now, the stress hormone, we all know, is cortisol. Very important concept. When you live in a high cortisol state, which is better than a no cortisol state, once you get to adrenal exhaustion, meaning no cortisol, you're digging your grave. But if you live like many people in a high cortisol state, meaning stressed, you can get through the day, but you're stressed. You forgot what it was like to take a breath. The cortisol competitively inhibits the receptors for the hormone it's supposed to receive. Cortisol competes with progesterone. Cortisol competes with estrogen. Cortisol competes with thyroxine. Cortisol competes with testosterone. That means the hormone you produce, testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, estradiol, thyroxine, T3, T4, whatever it is, it means the hormone you produce won't bind to the receptor site because cortisol beat it there. Because there was so much cortisol that the receptor site said, well, I really want progesterone, but there's 50 cortisol here. I'll take a cortisol. It's called, in science, in chemistry, competitive inhibition. another law. You don't balance hormone if your cortisol's too high, which is to say you don't balance hormone if you're sympathetic dominant, which is to say you got to train your body at the vortex, enamored of the Earth's energy, to cool itself down until you feel the bliss of release and flow in your body. Now, if you can do that at Sunday school, God bless you. If you can do that in Bible study, fantastic. Keep doing it. But if you need more help, consider the things I'm talking about in this show. Get on my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're lost in the labyrinth of health, if you've got a health condition and you're sick and tired of spinning in circles, you've been to a few other people and you're confused and you don't want the Cliff Note version of what to do, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I guarantee you, if you listen to me, if you comply, if you celebrate your health concern, I'll get you to the other side of it. If you're ready, I'm ready. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.